And we are live here on Facebook on Augusta Free Press. I am Chris Graham, joined by Josh Deal today. We're going to talk pro wrestling news, AEW Double or Nothing. We'll talk some WWE news and notes. But we'll start in AEW pay-per-view coming up tomorrow night. And Josh, we talked about this a lot last week. We got more storyline development this week as we head towards Double or Nothing tomorrow night. Your thoughts about the show? Excited getting ready for the show this weekend.
Dude, I was so satisfied during the Arn Anderson and Jake the Snake segment. They were like, they actually spelled out what I predicted would be Mike Tyson would be a major factor into that match. So what they said was he was going to be like circling the ring, and he was going to be kind of like, you know, an enforcer, kind of an element. And then Lance Archer, Jake Snake came out and said, you know, there's nothing more that Lance Archer would like to do would be like knock the hell out of Mike Tyson. So anyways, that was a little bit like, all right, man, I'm going to brush my shoulder on that one. But the go home show was fine. It was safe. It wasn't anything to write home about. It maybe wasn't some of AEW's best TV, but whatever, man, you can't get anybody hurt or, you know, change too much going into a massive show such as Double or Nothing. But as far as my excitement about Double or Nothing, it feels like Mania. It feels like something big in professional wrestling. And AEW, you know, they had their first pay-per-view show. That was a massive deal. Felt like a sea change in professional wrestling. And if you look at the contract negotiations and the people that like were trying to exit WWE and come to AEW and all this different stuff, that their first show was amazing. But this show feels like the first time AEW is like, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. And this is our pay-per-view as a solid company. So yeah, I'm super excited about it, man. I've got my plans to watch it. I'm going to be watching it. And all the wrestling fans, I know if people are like, well, it's $50, but I mean, you can't miss this thing. You know, it's one of the, it's an event, you know, it's almost like, I don't know, a World Series or, you know, the Olympics of pro wrestling. It's kind of what it feels like right now.
But. And magnified because we're in the environment we're in right now. I want to jump back to something you said about how they played it kind of safe. And then yet we had a couple of scares from the injury standpoint. First, Britt Baker, there was an awkward move in the tag team match, tag team match, where Nyla Rose was body slammed onto her in a sort of cannonball-like way when Britt Baker was in the corner. And you saw that match ended with Nyla Rose getting the pinfall in the tag match, but Britt Baker was over in the corner with the medical staff grabbing her knee. Now, we get the word is that it looks like she'll be fine for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That was definitely a scare. The other scare was part of the surprise at the end. We had not seen, and it had been mentioned storyline-wise, so you kind of know when they mention it vocally during the broadcast. Hey, we haven't seen the Young Bucks. We haven't seen Hangman Page in weeks. Where are they? Are they even going to be there Saturday night? And then, of course, the big brawl at the end of the show that takes to the football field there. We see the Bucks appear. We see Hangman Page with a running clothesline from the 50-yard line. Man, I popped for that. Wow, he actually still hitting with that clothesline. That was the best clothesline I've ever seen. But Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson actually came off it looks like Matt maybe hurt his shoulder again. Looks like he'll be part of the show Saturday night. I mean, clearly we'll be part of the show Saturday night, but there was initial concern about how he landed from that dive off the, I guess, the front row of seats in the Jacksonville Stadium. So they played it safe and then also risked a couple of injuries there. But wow, we got everything set up. It's all moving forward. John Moxley getting ready for Brody Lee, the world title match. How do you see that one playing out? Last week we talked about this, and your thoughts, I think, were along the lines of you can see an upset coming here, a title change happening here. Are you still sold in that direction?
You know, I can see the benefits of both ways. I think I was pondering over it today. I was actually looking down the card in preparation for our talk today. Just, you know, I didn't want to come in completely blind or, you know, uneducated. But I was looking at it. I was thinking at it. I was like, you know what? A really good long-term and also like a story-building outcome for that match would be for John Moxley to win to win. But let's say the Dark Order still gets involved at the end and Brody Lee still walks out of the building with the belt and John Moxley still is beltless, but he's still the champion. That I think could still hold some water going forward and could still be something where, and the culmination of that in my mind would be a ladder match, and it would roll into national TV. You would maintain the Double or Nothing momentum into TV time. That's where I thought about that. But if Moxley goes over, he gets the win straight up. I think you kind of squash the Dark Order a little bit. I don't think that's a good call. And I think they're going to be smart about that. So they want to protect the Dark Order. So that's where my thought process is with Brody Lee either winning or – and I'm starting to lean towards Brody Lee loses, but still – they beat down John Moxley pretty severely, and Brody Lee walks out with the belt. Or Brody Lee, they pull a shocker, and he just destroys Moxley. I think that would be the most newsworthy and noteworthy thing that they could do, if he just beat the hell out of John Moxley, and the Dark Order is established as almost like the Ministry of Darkness.
I can see that. I mean, I agree with you. If it's a clean fall for Moxley, yeah, that I mean, there's been a lot invested in this Dark Order the last several months. I mean, leading up to before the former Luke Harper even left WWE, and this storyline was being developed way back in, you know, the winter time. It would really kill the buzz. They've invested too much into this essentially for this to go away with a clean loss. And so I can see, I think the likely scenario could be a win by Brody Lee, but certainly because of interference, so that it doesn't take any shine off Moxley either.
Sure, sure, sure.
And allows that storyline to continue. I don't see a decisive result either way, I guess is what I would say.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Right? Especially
about both guys. I mean, and we've only had Moxley as champion from basically one pay-per-view period. AEW only does a pay-per-view every quarter. And so, yeah, I definitely see something feels like it's happening there. It just, I'm with you. I think it's more in that direction of something that elevates the Dark Order and makes them maybe the dominant faction in AEW for the time.
Well, I think they have to. The Inner Circle is still, it's almost like a club. It's not necessarily a faction. I think that's going to be the biggest heat seeker of the night. It will be what happens in the Elite versus the Inner Circle. I did see that Adam Page is officially on the card as part of the Elite. That I haven't seen that until a few days ago, honestly. Maybe I just missed it, but he's officially on the card. I kind of see that as like, it had this. So, all right. So one of my favorite things about this past week of AEW TV is how they really got into how big the arena is and the scope of the venue that they're going to be in. It's a full stadium. It's an empty stadium. It's probably a 75,000 seater. What's Virginia Tech? Is it 60,000 or something like that? I'm not sure.
Maybe, but I went to a bowl game in that stadium, the Jacksonville.
Okay.
Stadium. Sure. In 2008, it's an NFL stadium. So yeah, size and big scoreboard. It feels like a big, it's going to be a big event because it's there.
Sure. Sure. I've been to a few NFL stadiums. I've been to Baltimore. I've been to Charlotte. I've been to Jacksonville. And then recently I've been to the Benz in Atlanta, and it's just a different feel than a college stadium, even though sometimes they're kind of smaller. But at the same time, if you've got free reign of one of those places, you're trying to hold a wrestling match. I'm interested to see how they shoot that thing. Yes. And like, are they going to have the swinging cameras? Are they going to have, Vanguard 2 comes around and like <Yeah. laughs> films the show? I think that's going to be kind of cool. But yeah, like Adam Page right now, he's been so absent from TV. I think he's going to be a massive factor into this pay-per-view. And if not, they're missing a moment. with him and trying to make him more interesting, because he's been, you know, even after, you know, he was in the world title match with Jericho, lost. Now he's a world tag team champion, sort of, kind of, I don't know. But that's for something, for them to do something with him, and maybe even give Jericho maybe a chance to step back and be more of a mouthpiece, and then Adam Page be the workhorse, you know, leader, and maybe him and Swagger, the workhorse leaders of the Inner Circle. But I'm looking forward to the Inner Circle versus the Elite very, very much.
I was just looking up the weather forecast for Jacksonville for tomorrow night, because obviously it's going to be an outdoor event. High temperature during the day, 93, limited chance of rain. It should be around bell time tomorrow night. It should still be warm in the upper 80s.
Maybe, really? Okay.
84 is the projected temperature at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, I remember they did a show at Daly's Place outdoors last summer, you know, as they were making their walk up from Double or Nothing to October for the first live TV show. They did a show there maybe in July. And it was steamy, and you could tell the people. And of course, there won't be fans here tomorrow night, but the fans in the crowd were stuffed. They were having a hard time with it. The wrestlers looked a little worked up too, so that could play a factor. But at least the weather will allow for a good outdoor event, and I'm looking forward to that. And I agree. Maybe we're seeing this now. I mean, even Adam Page last night does that clothesline from the 50-yard line, and then keeps running up the tunnel. Clearly there's something going on there, and I like what you say there. That would be interesting, you know, because Jericho is more valuable in a more limited role. I mean, in a role where he's talking more every week. Not, I don't want to see him off TV ever. I want to see him coming out 3 or 4 times a night. Pick and choose his spots as a performer more. If Adam Page were to make that leap over there, that would be interesting. And then let him be the young workhorse that can, you know, he's been, when he was in New Japan as part of the Bullet Club, he was a secondary player, but you could see the potential as a young performer, but he never really had to carry the ball. He just was a worker. Yeah. That would give him a chance. And he's in the background of the Elite, with that power group that is there. You move him over and make him the centerpiece of a heel faction as a young guy. That's a great opportunity for him to really grow as a performer.
Yeah. And AEW, they need to fill out the card as far as their characters. And there's a lot of great performers there, and they're just now starting to scratch the surface of, you know, what the women's division is going to be moving forward. They're starting to get their feel for what the whole roster can do and will do. I think this past week there was more women's wrestling. It felt like there was more women's wrestling on AEW than there had been previously. Fill out. Okay, so who's going to challenge? You got to think that, you know, Archer may or may not be interested in going after the TNT championship. You got to wonder, if when Archer loses this match versus Cody, what's he going to do? What is he going to go to the top of the card? You got to figure he will. That would be my estimation. And then like all these guys that are in the casino ladder match, I think it's going to be a great opportunity for them to kind of cement some sort of a spot and some sort of a narrative going forward. Like, who am I? What can you expect from me on AEW TV? I think they've taken the foot off the gas a little bit the past couple weeks as far as pro wrestling, which is fine. You don't want to hurt anybody going into such a major show. I am very excited. AEW, the Double or Nothing itself is going to be, like I said, it's a mania type show as far as the world of pro wrestling. But afterwards, I'm very, very curious as to what is going to happen with AEW. And who is Drew Gulak going to show up? Are they gonna pull some people from Ring of Honor? You know, are they gonna see some other surprises? Is Joey Ryan? There's been a little bit of buzz about him maybe making an appearance. You know, maybe coming to AEW and working with AEW. And Impact. There's been a little bit of like some buzz about an Impact Wrestling and AEW sort of an agreement sort of going on. So I'm very curious for the next few months of AEW TV. That's a big thing coming out of this pay-per-view.
Well, there is a mystery entrant in the ladder match tonight.
There definitely is.
We need to figure out who that is, and we won't figure out, I'm sure, until we have that match actually out there. It's Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Phoenix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, Luchasaurus, and then TBA, winner receives future AEW World Championship match. And we've agreed, Josh, that this is, I mean, there are so many highlight matches on this card. But man, you've got young stars, up and coming guys like Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy. You've got the established Colt Cabana. I would count Phoenix as an established guy. Scorpio Sky, who could certainly use a boost. Kip Sabian, who's been given some opportunities. And Kazarian's another kind of just a guy who's a glue guy who will help this match get over. Luchasaurus, a big guy. You love big guys in these kind of matches because they can throw the little guys around a little bit. That's, you need a guy like that to do that. And again, the to-be-announced guy as part of this mix. Boy, I don't really know where this goes. I mean, we talked last week. You know, we had different scenarios as to how this could go. I don't know that I'm still set on this yet.
I don't think I am either. And I'm not, as I've been thinking about it, I'm not 100% sure if there's a wrong choice. I think that you would like to the two guys that I'm leaning. I know last week you said Cassidy and Darby Allin would be the guys you lean towards to win this particular match. Scorpio Sky, I still have a lot of stock in him. I think I see a lot of potential in him as a main event guy, as a guy that can put on matches with a variety of types of competitors. He could do faster, high flying type stuff. He could do the hard hitting, you know, big spot, you know, big impact move type matches. The mystery competitor, if it's Gulak, that would be so hot because he's just coming off of that win over Daniel Bryan on WWE TV. I think that might have been, I'm not 100% sure if that wasn't a planned work sort of thing coming from WWE just to try to like maybe make some news. But if he's the guy, then that would be awesome. I think for value wise, you've got to go Cassidy. If you're going for Cassidy, for bang for your buck, win. As far as name recognition, he's the guy that would win. But I think they still have a lot of development to do on him as a performer, as a storyteller, as a character. And he's a guy that can sell T-shirts. He's a guy that you can put in any kind of match, and it will sell. And he can work with the smaller guys. I think AEW has a large roster of smaller wrestlers, faster, more athletic style, like Lucha Libre style, that he can work with. I think it would be very good. So I honestly don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think there's a wrong answer, but I'm still leaning on Scorpio Sky for the win here.
I think I am too. And that helps us figure out who wins the world title match at the end. I think a Scorpio Sky win portends a Brody Lee win. Just to have the face against the heel. And Scorpio Sky can be the kind of guy. He's shown himself. He had a really good match with Chris Jericho a few months ago. He's good on the mic. He just kind of needs that push. We talked about that a little earlier with Adam Page. You know, a guy – just we're talking about guys who are really good, have all the elements. They just need – the individual push. And Adam Page has been a background guy. He's in a tag team right now. Get him out from the shadows and let him be a guy. And Scorpio Sky is certainly a guy like that. SCU has been great. It's given him opportunities, but now he needs to kind of fly on his own and giving him a title shot and then treat that title shot right. Whoever gets this, I mean, treat this right though. Don't play it out like in a week or two and just have it be a throwaway. No. Play this out sort of like Money in the Bank. I mean, it's not where you cash in that aspect of Money in the Bank. But, man, you know, have this person, after they win this match tomorrow night, have them go out and just dominate AEW for a few weeks. Just every week they're highlighted. They get a match. They're beating top guys each week. You build some steam, build some momentum. So don't just have this match be the match. But have them go on an 8 or 9 match winning streak, something like that. And then they move forward and then they take on the champ, you know, sometime this summer. And win or lose, at least then you've got something to build around. I hope that I hope that's kind of what comes out of this for AEW and for this guy.
I think so too. And if they're booking this long term, which I think they are, this show looks like it's a 6 month outlook sort of a show. My prediction is that they already have the next 4 months of TV booked. And they already have the next pay-per-view outlined. And you have to do those kinds of those long-term, you know, looks when you're a pro wrestling company. Of course, people get injured, things happen, plans go awry. But looking at this card, I am so interested in the winners and losers. I'm not sure if I've ever looked. I cannot remember the last time I've looked at a wrestling card like the winners and losers of these matches mean so much.
Actually matters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're right, because WWE has taught us or reduced us to 50-50 booking, I guess they call it, mm-hmm. and you don't really care who wins or loses. But even the first matches, you know, I mean, even the buy-in match, the pre-show match, Best Friends and Private Party, I like both those teams. I love Private Party. Best Friends I like, but I love Private Party. And the winners are normal contenders for the tag titles. And then you look at Dustin and Shawn Spears. Maybe not so much buy-in there, but the Britt Baker match with Chris Statlander, they both need a win. And, you know, so that means something. MJF and Jungle Boy, I kind of think they both need a win. MJF's got to be the winner there. Jungle Boy's got to look good, but MJF has to build off his win over Cody from the last show. But, you know, those matches even, which aren't for titles, which aren't even, you know, those three matches I just mentioned there aren't even for number one contenderships or anything else. They still matter, you know. And
they do.
You know, that, I love you pointing that out because, yeah, it's we as wrestling fans have gotten, you know, the WWE has made us think it's sports entertainment and it's just whatever it is. AEW definitely, when they put that win-loss record up there, it means something. And so as a result, each one of these matches means a lot.
Well, and I was really annoyed with that gimmick at first. I was like, dude, it's pro wrestling. Why are you putting your win-loss stuff up there? Like, who cares? You know, just give me entertaining matches and give me something to care about. But now as the months have gone on and the AEW is, you know, 30-something Wednesdays in to their streak. This will be their third. This is their third pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to start tallying things. You want to start working on streaks. You want to start talking about who's who, the hierarchy. Okay. It's a little more interesting now when you have people with 14-2 by their name, or 10-0, or all these different factors. Now, I want to jump in on something you mentioned, and you jogged my memory with MGF, Friedman over Cody, who is hopefully going to be Cody Rhodes very, very soon on AEW TV. That would make all the sense in the world for that to be the first TNT championship feud. He's a monster heel, just, and he's got his big muscle guy just running around, just doing whatever he wants to. And you got this bratty dude. That would be a good TNT championship feud to start out with. And you got to figure that Jungle Boy is going to lose that match. But yeah, anyway,
he's going to lose that match. You got to keep the momentum on MJF. I'm going to throw out another thought though. I mean, I'm just, you know, both having been a booker and writer for a wrestling company, and then also just years of following closely. You know, you mentioned earlier, and I'm going to refer to the Lance Archer Cody match for the TNT Championship. And you talked about that sort of classic table across the table conversation between Arn Anderson and Jake the Snake Roberts that was helping sell this the other night, and Jake pointing out that Lance Archer wouldn't mind if Mike Tyson sticks his nose in, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, wrestling is all about the swerve, and normally when you start talking about how you're going to, you know, the enforcer is going to, he better watch out or he's going to get enforced. That usually implies that something's going to change on the night of the show.
Something will change. Yeah.
So, you know, we figured this out last week that, man, Mike Tyson's going to get involved. He's going to punch somebody, and that's going to be the headline. That's going to be the highlight for SportsCenter and for FS1 and all the rest. And, you know, but it's too easy to say that because this is wrestling.
It's a little easy. It's a little easy. But at the same time, I mean, they've already built it up to the fact that why would they bring this guy in? Why is he getting involved? And he's also doing I've seen him, doing some videos and stuff on ESPN, all these workout videos, and people are talking. He's putting out all these vignettes saying, I might get back in the ring, Mike Tyson. So he's talking about making a boxing comeback and all this stuff. So maybe for him, he's looking at this as, a publicity stunt to get his name, back in the mainstream media as a competitor or, in some sort of, sports entertainment venue. But, you talk about Tyson. Another thought that came to mind was Dustin. Dustin has a receipt to give Archer, if you're following the storylines. He is a guy, and maybe even Jake. So maybe Dustin does something to Jake Roberts that causes Lance to, take his eye off the ball, and that's what happens. So, and Jake, he looks like he's in pretty good shape, and he's itching to do something. So maybe there's going to be Dustin does something to Jake, and that's what happens. And that's how, Cody gets the 1-2-3 of that kind of a deal. But I think Mike Tyson will be physically involved one way or the other.
I'm suggesting he's going to be physically involved, but in a way that we're not thinking. Assuming he's going to knock out Lance Archer. And what if he knocks out Cody? Jake was the swerve. Jake was hinting that, he better watch himself, and then he turns the other way. And, because in the end, yes, I mean, Tony Khan is paying Mike Tyson whatever he's paying him. You have to presume it's not insignificant for the headlines. And it's not just to hand a belt. It's to do something and to get a something where he throws a punch. And, Lance Archer is not a name that a mainstream person would know. But if you can say – it's Cody Rhodes, the son of the legendary Dusty Rhodes, that might have a little more cachet. And then I agree with you, though, that maybe how all this starts is that Dustin comes down to get involved, and then, there's scuffle ensue. I mean, it's got to be something. Sure. It's got to be a lot. It's wrestling.
Yeah.
And the more players you can get into play, the better the theater is. So,
Jake, he's been pretty un-PC versus Brandy. So that is definitely something okay, she's going to be involved. Anyways, man, it's
my wife had to leave the room when we were watching last week's show when the snake came out. She had Crystal doesn't do snakes, so that was it. That was she didn't watch for another 20 minutes or so after that. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players in this one. It's going to be fun. That one, I mean, every match on this card looks really good, but that one's going to be particularly fun.
I think so too. And this one has, with all the players that are potentially involved, it has, you look back to the 90s, maybe with WWF and maybe some ECW with these just run in after run in and just like spot after spot. That's all these different players that are involved that aren't necessarily part of the match. It could be that kind of a hectic sort of a deal and over again. You think somebody's out of the picture and then they come right back. There could be other people involved too. I don't know if, and then you've got Arn Anderson who's chiming in, and maybe get some of the announcers involved. I would like to see Tony Schiavone go out there and take a swing at somebody, but that match in particular, I still think it has to go on first. If you're going to involve Mike Tyson and get him involved in any way, you've got to put that match on first. But yeah, man, so if you're looking at the card, so you're looking at Moxley, Brody Lee, you're looking at, the Elite Inner Circle, Casino Ladder Match, all that stuff. What do you, what gets your blood pumping the most, and what do you see the most potential out of from the three, the three main events?
Probably actually the TNT championship match we've just been talking about there. There's a lot of potential there. The ladder match, maybe even second. And then I mean, you know, I think if things go in the Stadium Stampede match that we assume in terms of some sort of heel turn, perhaps from a Hangman Page, that would get my blood going a little bit there too. It's funny, the World Championship match has, I mean, it's the World Championship match, but and there is intrigue because one, we think the champion might lose the belt, but of those four, mm-hmm. that's probably fourth on my list right now.
I think so too. It could be one of those matches where they surprise us. Both of those guys are insanely and deceptively athletic. Yeah. Moxley in particular. Brody Lee, I think, has shown it off a little bit more than Moxley has over his career. Moxley has come in with a bit of like the Mick Foley, you know, just brawler, I'm going to punch you in the face kind of attitude and style. But he's a really good wrestler. He's a very good professional wrestler. He can do the high spots. He can do the high rope stuff. He can do the catch-as-catch-can stuff.
The match he did with Jake Hager back a few weeks ago, he wrestled with Jake Hager. I mean, I thought that was mm-hmm. a really good, just scientific wrestling match. I blew mm-hmm. my mind that he could wrestle with Jake Hager.
Yeah, it reminds me of back like when Kane would pop out a match every once in a while where it was like a Matt classic, just a catch-as-catch-can match. Everyone, it was so funny, man. He would just do it sometimes. He did it with I think he did it with Hager in WWE one time. They just had a really strong Matt match. And then he had another one. I think it was with Johnny, who is it? Johnny Impact or Johnny, what's his name now?
John Morrison now.
yeah. Like, but I remember this very clearly in ECW TV. They had like a Matt wrestling match. And I was like, wow, he's really quick. He's really athletic. I've never thought that Kane looked so athletic versus when he was in those catch-as-catch-can free-flowing matches.
I think you've got an interesting common denominator there, though. When I praise Moxley for working with Jake Hager, and then you're talking about Kane with Jake Hager, we got to remember that it's often the dance partner that can make you look good or make you look bad. And Hager is legit. He's a All-American mm-hmm. college wrestler. And a guy that, you know, he did get a brief run with the WWE world title before the DUI issue kind of sidelined his career there, put him on the back of the shelf. But he's a guy that, you know, he's back to being a role player right now. He's a guy that I think a lot of, and eventually they'll get something more out of him than they're getting right now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a fantastic worker. He's a quick worker. He's a hard worker. I remember a couple of matches he had with Alberto Del Rio. Well, I don't want to talk about that guy too much. I have zero respect for that man right now. But they had some great matches back in WWE. Jake Hager is a fast, fast worker, very hard hitting. He can take the bumps. He can give the bumps. He's got over the hump with some of his speech impediment stuff. And that is a big deal. I mean, I hate to say it. Like I've mentioned it several times. Like, talking, you know, is a huge deal when you're at that level in professional wrestling. And I think it's, you know, maybe McMahon was a little bit scared of dealing with a guy trying to work around somebody with speech impediment. So that's why they put him with, you know, Dutch Mantel, which makes sense. It's what we're kind of working, like what we've seen with Shinsuke. I think there's some other stuff going on with Vince and Shinsuke, but it's kind of the same idea. Like if you can't talk, if you can't communicate clearly, it's a hard thing to make someone a big, you know, draw or try to put them as your front runner on a show, or at least for even a short time. So
so that show tomorrow night, 7:30, the buy-in pre-show, 8:00, the live pay-per-view. It is, Josh mentioned this earlier, it's $49.99. So, you know, WWE Network fans who are used to just paying $9.99 a month for the network and you get the shows, you know, that way, it's on BR Live, traditional pay-per-view. I've got the BR Live account. I'm going to be sitting out on my back deck tomorrow night. The weather's looking good here in Virginia for the first time in forever. I'm sure in Georgia's even better. I've got the refrigerator stock, the grill will have, already been, in work. And so tomorrow night, and I wish it'd be one of those things. This would be the kind of thing I'd invite a few friends over, might still do that. What the hell? And enjoy a great night of pro wrestling. And Josh, I'm sure you know you'll be sitting in And we'll be texting a lot during this one too, I'm sure.
I'm hoping so. I'm doing my best to try and lock down a situation to watch it and not pay the full $50 just to be frank with you. Okay. It's a tough one, man. That's a big pill to swallow. I'm trying to work out a situation with some people to not have to pay that whole 50, because it is a lot. I mean, like, as a fan, as somebody you get used to, that's a big number to think about for a wrestling pay-per-view these days. But at the same time, it's history. It's something I'm going to work it out. It's going to be watched in my home. That's it's going to happen one way or the other. Let's just leave it at that. So
we'll leave it at that. Hey, we wanted to leave a little bit of time here at the end. So we've got everybody ready for the AEW show. Last week, I don't know how we did this. We caught up on everything else, but we missed the big news of the week. We got to catch up on the announcement from Becky Lynch, and it still has reverberations throughout pro wrestling. Becky Lynch, the man, had been the champion for over a year straight, since winning the main event at WrestleMania 35 over a year ago. Stunning the world last week with her announcement that she is pregnant, relinquishing the belt. Fallout from that continues. I know that there were some controversial comments attributed to Jim Cornette on one of his weekly shows. Seth Rollins, who is a Jim Cornette guy, or at least was a Jim Cornette guy, even strongly condemning what Cornette had to say. Though, I will say, I mean, you know, the way Jim Cornette says things is one thing, and what he had to say is another thing. His point was, you know, here you are. I mean, Becky Lynch is 33, I think, years old. She's at the top of the game. And this changes everything for her. I mean, it's her life. But, I mean, she's, you know, the last I'd seen, I think, was Forbes had a list of the top 10 WWE paid performers. She was like third or fourth on the list, over $3 million a year, making more than Seth was. That goes away. It's an issue that women athletes, women wrestlers have to deal with, that men athletes don't have to deal with, male athletes don't have to deal with. But hey, she's given up. She's at the top of the game, and she may never be what she was before. So your thoughts on all this?
Buddy, the heart wants what the heart wants. So if she wants to be a mom, more power to her, man. Like, and Cornette might have made some good business points, but he can shove it up his ass on that stuff. I really don't have any sympathy for him. I'm done with that guy, to be honest with you. Just going out of his way to be offensive and just to say horrible and mean things about people. Like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is in the business? You know, where does he get off trying to insult people and their life decisions? You know, it's not my fault that he's said all these racist things over the years that have gotten him fired from company after company after company after company. And I understand he's a shock jock, but you know what, man? Sometimes you just got to shut up. That's kind of what I got to say about Jim Cornette. But
about the bigger point, though, whether it's he saying it or me saying it, because I can actually see the point, which is whether, you know, your heart follows what you follow. She's at the top of the game. She probably, you have to assume she won't be back there again. It's a tough choice.
It is tough choices.
And also the ramifications for WWE. She organically, you know, WWE puts a lot of effort into building stars. They haven't really built a really good star in many years. They didn't build her. They stumbled into her. I mean, they tried everything they could to not let Becky Lynch be the star, and she became the star anyway.
That's the thing about her. She was a get-over talent. She was a very good get-over talent for people like Sasha Banks, for people like Ronda Rousey, for people like Charlotte Flair. And she made their names very much in the same role that Mick Foley played in the late 90s with Stone Cold, with The Rock, with Triple H, making those guys give them a hard edge. Even Shawn Michaels. You want to roll Mick Foley back to his Mankind days with Shawn Michaels. Sorry, I got really heated about that. I really am offended, honestly, personally, by what Jim Cornette had to say about her. It was out of line, and I don't think he should have said it. I don't think it was valid, and I don't think he has any place in the wrestling business to say stuff like that. But to say, if you want to talk about the dollars and cents of Becky Lynch herself, yeah, she's a huge star in the business, and I think she's going to come back from this. And she wants to have a kid. She wants to be a mom. She wants to have a family. That's a decision that her and Seth have made. And you know what? That's life. If the WWE is going to have all these female wrestlers, guess what? Women get pregnant. So if you're going to have female wrestlers on your roster, get ready for them to be pregnant sometimes, man. And you can't pay people to not get pregnant. And you can't – if that to me, like, I think she will be back. She'll have the kid. I think we'll see Becky Lynch in a year and a half. That's my
I'll prediction just say this her. Though, realistically, the way WWE works, you're working 300 days a year on the road. You're not a mother. You're not a parent. You're not a good parent anyway. I mean, whatever. If you're on the road 300 days a year, you're not. I don't care what anybody wants to say, and that's the substance of this discussion. I mean, so if Vince McMahon is willing, and he better be, because she still is organically, she became on her own the man. If in a year and a half, 2 years, whenever that is, she's ready and able to get back into that. Now, again, will she be the man in a year and a half or 2 years? That's another part of this that we could discuss. But she's a part-timer. She's not going to be at house shows. I mean, let's assume the world gets back to where we have house shows, okay? Which I think it's a safe assumption that we'll get to that point at some point in the near future. But she's not going to be a touring performer. I don't know that that's a bad thing. I personally think WWE can get away from the touring part of things and making their performers give up their personal lives and their well-being for going on the road 300 days a year. But she's not going to be one of those performers.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it from a marketing standpoint. You've got one of the biggest stars in the past 10 years in WWE, you know, man, female. She is one of the biggest. She has changed the game in so many ways for women's wrestling and is maybe outside of three or four other people in the company. And I'm talking Rollins. I'm talking Heyman. I'm talking maybe Triple H. As far as talkers on the mic, she's up there.
Oh, she's the best of all those people. Her and Heyman. Rollins is nowhere close.
He can be. He's different. I have a different opinion about him. He plays to the script, but she's very good. Becky could have been a fantastic Attitude Era wrestler, right? I think she could have made it there. Almost above anybody on the roster, maybe say Randy Orton, who I think is born out of time. If Orton had been, you know, if he had started in the company in 95, you know, we might be talking about him as one of the greatest of all time. I don't think you need her year round. I don't think you need her to be someone that works all those dates. But yeah, you're talking about the house shows, you're talking about who she is for the company. And the fact that she's a mom, and if she comes back as a professional wrestler, dude, so much publicity. The human interest story on that side of that alone is massive. And I think it's something they could really play with and they could shoot for.
It's possible. I mean, I look at it a little differently, I guess. 2 years wrestling cycles. I mean, especially WWE, because they have three weekly shows, a monthly pay-per-view. Their life cycle is so quick, whereas AEW has the more languorous. It's every 3 months a pay-per-view, so you build for 3 months to a show. Maybe if that was the case, and they don't have a touring company that it goes to house shows all the time, but it kills their wrestlers when they do that. A year and a half is a long time. And in the meantime, someone else is going to have to be developed, whether or not they get over. But you know, Charlotte Flair is logical to be that person, but I think they've dropped the ball with her so many times. I wonder about Sasha Banks and the Sasha Bailey story. Somebody's going to have to emerge.
They're going to split Sasha and Bailey. Rhea Ripley is going to have to move to the main roster. Yeah. They have a woman on NXT right now, Mia Kim. I can't remember exactly. Yeah. She's very, very good. Very, very good. Then you've got Johnny Gargano's wife, Candice
McRae.
Candice LeRae. There are options there. You're not going to replace a Becky.
Io Shirai is the best wrestler in that company, I think.
Sure, I forgot about Io Shirai. Yeah. And then you've got Asuka, who's sitting there just anytime you want. There's Asuka.
She has the communication problem you talked about with Shinsuke and some others that she would have already been over if they need to put her with somebody. They need to give her a mouthpiece.
Well, I think we touched on this last week too, where we WWE, they just want to continually, and it is important to have these communication skills and be able to illustrate your point. But at the same time, why not just have it based about pro wrestling? Why not just have it about the matches? I know because of Vince McMahon, and I know Bruce Pritchard is there too. And I thought that was going to be a good thing for the company. I'm starting to doubt that, to be honest with you, because I'm seeing some habits, some 80s and early 90s habits from him as far as storytelling goes that I'm not 100% a fan of. But you've got all these amazing athletes in WWE right now, especially in the women's division. Simplistic storytelling and just let them go out there and put on 5-star matches. Let that be the story. You know, that's what they did in the cruiserweight division, WCW. And you know what? It was a major part of their card. It was a major part of what made WCW a competitor with WWF back in the 90s. Those guys on the card at the time, just, they were no name. They were no name guys when they started in the cruiserweight division, but they became huge names.
I'll bring up one other issue with the Becky Lynch news, the way it dropped too. And it is what it is. It's the story is what it's become. But I would think if I were WWE, I would have liked to have the opportunity for her to have elevated someone else on her way out.
That's a fair point.
You know, you're making the vociferous point that it's her life and she can do what she wants to do. I think she also owed a responsibility to the company. And if she would have lost the belt in the ring and then tried to, you know, become pregnant and then move on with her next phase in life, that's great. She didn't get to elevate anybody. They didn't get to elevate anybody as a result. Someone beating the man in the ring clean 1-2-3, whether it be main event WrestleMania or whatever else, elevates the hell out of that person. And then that person has a chance to become the next man.
Well, I think you got it.
That does nothing for anybody.
It doesn't do anything, but Asuka did win Money in the Bank. And if you want to look at it from, say, some of the points, you know, when this isn't the same thing. It's not the same thing. Edge had his injury, and then McMahon was like, you're done. And a couple of times McMahon went to Foley and said, hey, you've had too many injuries. You're done. But he kept on coming back. Those kinds of things. I think that if they knew they're going into that situation, like, hey, she's like, I think I might be pregnant. And they're like, really? Okay. Well, we're not going to put you in some 20-minute classic and risk, you know, that being an issue for you. It's a bad situation. It's a no-win situation for WWE, other than the fact that they have a human interest story now. They have someone to bring back later.
I'm saying if she's thinking about becoming a mother,
yeah,
you're an athlete and you're a $3.5 million a year employee. You owe it to you owe it to the people that pay you that amount of money, that have given you the lifestyle that you now have, to say, before I become pregnant, I'm going to lay out a plan where I'm going to do this. To me, she owed that to WWE as much as WWE owes what they owe to their employees as well. And she owed it not just to WWE, but to the other women in the locker room. Somebody needed to beat her before she becomes pregnant. I mean, after she becomes pregnant, I mean, it was obvious. What this tells you is it was not planned. And that's fine. That's life.
No, it was not planned at all.
It was not planned. But I think there's room for criticism there.
There may be some room.
I think there's a lot of room. I mean,
that's a very hard one for me to unpack and talk about logically, honestly, right now. I would say it's WWE have women wrestlers at the top of their card. It is a risk that someone's going to get pregnant. Nothing's a fail safe. There's no fail safe in that situation. Whether or not she should have, you know, dropped the belt to somebody clean, that's another discussion. I don't know, man. That's a really touchy subject, and I think it's complicated.
I don't think after she's pregnant, she should be in the ring. I mean, that's just, and I think we've since learned, based on timing, she probably was in the ring, at least for WrestleMania. She didn't know she was pregnant then, but when you do the math, she was pregnant then. So No, I don't doubt at all. No, once
my guess got in the ring. Right. My guess is that she found out in between the tapings for Money in the Bank and the Monday Night Raw where she dropped the belt would be my guess.
But the reporting, I think, from Meltzer, Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer, is actually it was before Money in the Bank.
Really?
That's why the result of that was changed. I mean, we'd been building up to a Shayna Baszler Money in the Bank briefcase win, and then she would challenge Becky and probably eventually win the belt at some point, or at least chase her with the Money in the Bank briefcase for a while. And then before Money in the Bank, Becky approached management and said that she was pregnant, and they made the move. Instead of giving the belt to Baszler, they wanted to give the belt to the more established Asuka. And then I assume that Baszler will eventually chase Asuka. So that's the reporting. And it makes sense to me when you think that reporting through, it kind of makes sense that you've been building Baszler up as a chaser. You want her to keep chasing. You don't want her to be given something she's been chasing. Whereas Asuka's been there. She's an established person. She actually was didn't she win the Royal Rumble last year?
Yes, yes.
And so it feels more logical to give her the belt and then make Baszler earn it. But yeah, so I when I read that, it made sense that was maybe the way things had worked out.
Yeah, sure, man. It's a complicated issue. I understand, like, they're investing a ton of money into her. I don't know what the contract negotiations are going to be or where Becky Lynch is going to be falling short on that end of the contract. But, yeah, man, like, I just don't think that you can have a roster with that many women and just not expect somebody to get pregnant at some point. And it's a hard thing. It's a business decision for sure. And I think WWE, they made a business decision to take the belt off of her as soon as they did and move it on to somebody else and move forward. But at the same time, I think it's going to be a net win for the company a year and a half, 2 years from now. I think she will come back. I mean, you can be a parent and still be a road performer. It's possible. It would be hard.
You can come back, but you can't always capture lightning in a bottle a second time.
Sure.
No, I don't doubt she'll come back. She's only 33 now. A couple of years, she's 35. 3 or 4 years, she's 36 or 37.
Sure.
That's young for a pro wrestler in this day and age, at least. But coming back and being the man again, you can call her the man. You can market her as a man. They didn't build her in the first place, though. She became the man. So we'll see.
That's the thing. I mean, like Lesnar went away forever and came back. The Rock went away. You know, he comes back with huge pops every time. You know, Sting floundered in Impact Wrestling, and some people will say he embarrassed himself down there. And he came back to huge pops, you know, on mainstream pro wrestling. I think she will be fine. I think her legacy will be fine. It is a controversial issue. You can have all the opinions that you want. I did take offense into how Jim Cornette talked about it, and I think he needs to shut up every once in a while and just, you know, stay in his lane. There's a reason he's not working for a wrestling company anymore, and I think stuff like this kind of shows why he's not working for one of the main wrestling companies anymore.
I'm actually a fan of his podcast, and I think he would tell you that he understands that completely, and there's probably a reason he doesn't want to work for a wrestling company anymore.
Sure.
Then you can say what you want to say, and still be able to, I guess, go to sleep. And he is an interesting fellow, I still think that there's a lot to what he had to say, and not just what he had to say. In fact, I haven't even listened to his comments yet, particularly on that issue. I've read some of what he had to say. I know Seth Rollins is offended at it. He might be offended at what I say, which is I think Becky Lynch dropped the ball and dropped the ball in terms of not planning it out better. And I'll stick with that. But this is what we discussed this last week. We need to let this germinate a little bit because all this hadn't happened last week when we first were going to talk about it. But be that as it may, we are at 2:00. And Josh, I promise to let you be done by 2:00 because you have something else to record here soon.
Yeah, man.
So for our listeners out there, our viewers out there, thank you for joining us here on this show. And we'll talk again next week. We've got Double or Nothing tomorrow night. We'll be breaking that down and more. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great day.